what, 35 years now.
Fantastic.
But veganism I found hard because I really value butter and I really value cheese, and the alternatives to it just are not the same. A good ghee is far better than any margarine.
Yeah, it is problematic, especially with ghee being used within Hinduism for religious sacrament purposes and everything. It is problematic. And of course, India itself, agrarian India, is an animal-based culture, and that's one criticism that was leveled at animal activists by Kathleen Marquardt. She founded Putting People First, which was an anti-animal rights group, and in 1993, she wrote a book called Animal Scam, The Beastly Abuse of Human Rights. She was giving all the usual hand-wringing and fear-mongering about animal rights, like, the movement will determine whether or not we'll ban new medication that would determine whether or not we live or die. And it sounded like, well, you could make the same accusations about when banning white humans experimenting on black humans or banning the Nazis from experimenting on Jews, etc. So she's doing all the fanatical hand-wringing about animal rights. But she at one point she claims animal activists are indifferent to the plight of animal-dependent cultures. Now, how true that is, I don't know. That could be the subject of an entire book in itself, the argument that animal activists don't care about native cultures and so forth. How many native cultures exist today? The macaw, there's a lot of fuss about them going whaling and everything, I remember, but they hadn't hunted in over a century, and they were calling a return to tradition, had actually ended a century earlier. And whether it was proper for that to have happened, whether that was the interference by the white society or whatever that didn't have to happen and so forth, is of course, another matter entirely. But it's like, why resume a practice if it's unnecessary in this day and age, in the name of tradition, and especially when so many injustices have been committed in the past by probably societies around all over the world in the name of tradition? That just strikes me as kind of absurd. Jeremy Rifkin in Beyond Beef, and also Stephen Rosen in Holy Cow, where he documents the contribution of the Christian conscious movement to the animal rights movement, he quotes from Jeremy Rifkin as describing agrarian India as an animal-dependent culture. So the argument that animal activists are insensitive to animal-dependent culture, I don't know how true that is. If I recall correctly, Rosen himself, when interviewed by Abolitionist Online in Australia, he said that there is no real need for the Christian temples in the West to be using dairy products. That might be true of India, which is an agrarian society and so forth, but outside, it really isn't that necessary. And so many other innovations have happened within the Vaishnav tradition or worship of Lord Vishnu, innovations, to preach the gospel, as it were, using automobiles, traveling to the West, etc. There's a command within Hinduism that monks, sannyasis, aren't supposed to cross water to travel and so forth and all. But a lot of these things, depending on time, place, and circumstance, can be altered or even ignored depending on the situation, etc. I'm not in a position to make these kind of pronouncements, but it seems to me that veganism would certainly be a logical conclusion. Our spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in his purports or commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, he doesn't rule out dairy products. In fact, they are considered pure because the cow is considered sacred. But he also says slaughter is the way of the subhumans, that only like Pythagoras, that only beasts satisfy their hunger this way. And even that isn't true of all animals, because sheep and cattle live on grass. Those are Pythagoras' words. And similarly, our spiritual master said slaughter, killing animals for food, is the way of the subhuman. It's cruel, it's barbaric. But he also speaks favorably of milk products. So the only conclusion you can come to when he's saying these things, practically speaking, in the same sentence or in the same breath or whatever, is that the only conclusion you can come to is that if you're going to use dairy products, they have to be obtained humanely. If that's possible to do on a huge scale with a human population worldwide in the several billions, I don't know. To me, veganism just seems logical. If you're worried about things like pesticide residues accumulating higher on the food chain, that's going to be true of dairy products as well as meat. It's going to be true of eggs, dairy products, etc., any animal byproduct. What to speak of the energy consumption involved, the resources involved, water, etc., and so forth, soil. Just by eating higher off the food chain, you're going to have these problems. So it may not be as concentrated or as severe in dairy as in with meat itself. But to me, veganism seems like the only rational course of action in this regard. Of course, I'll defer to people more knowledgeable than I in this regard as to how essential it is or how crucial it is, at least within the Hindu tradition. But it seems to me, if we're going to be telling others, well, you shouldn't kill cows, you shouldn't kill animals by law of karma, as long as they're killing the cows and the other animals in the slaughterhouses, there'll be wars, there'll be abortions. These are the collective karma for killing animals. And we're telling people of their faith not to kill animals. So we say, well, don't kill cows. And they'll say, well, and you're trying to kill your religion because you believe the cow is sacred. We say, don't kill any animal, which is the ideal. Don't kill any animal. Then that leads inevitably to veganism, because unless you can obtain animal byproducts humanely, that inevitably leads to veganism. So, and secular organizations are already doing this. So for Christians who are interested in being nonviolent to humans and animals alike, and who don't want to contribute to animal suffering, but they don't want to be converted to another religion, it's understandable. They're welcome to join any number of secular organizations, PETA, the Humane Society, the ASPCA, In Defense of Animals, Friends of Animals, Last Chance for Animals, Mercy for Animals, Vegan Action, Vegan Outreach, etc. There are so many organizations they could join and be supporting. When you consider the long history of animal advocacy in Christianity, to me, and I'm hoping that a book like They Shall Not Hurt or Destroy would facilitate this kind of discussion, bring it up for discussion, not only for ourselves as Hindus or as Buddhists and Jains and Eastern religions where these doctrines of compassion for animals are more pronounced. Some scholars believe that's because of the belief in reincarnation. But in any case, to me, it's as reasonable as someone from a pro-life church discussing sanctity of life issues with someone from a pro-choice church. That's how mainstream I see it when you look at the long history of animal advocacy within Christianity.
I'd like to